Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
This is my boomstick.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Oh, we're the greatest, strongest country in the world. The greatest, strongest country in the world. Whether your name's Carrie Dalby or the great Luke Ski, there's no one more American than me.
Gorgeous. Truly.
The date is November 2nd, 2010, Election Day. But that is only a mere trifle compared to the fact that this is episode number 27!
Yay! And so we've made it over a year, and we've made it to a significant funny number.
Yes, we'll go more into the meanings of that number for those of you who don't know, which...
By the way, I'm Carrie.
And I'm Luke.
Okay. So, we're off to a great start here. I can't hit you because I'm in Chicago and you're in Des Plaines.
Yes.
And the main reason for this is now null and void because you now have access to the car after all.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, that whole thing, if you guys remember from several episodes back where someone hit my car and now I don't have a car anymore, it's become very inconvenient when it comes to recording the podcast. Because I have to make arrangements to get the car with my wife because she has her car and I don't and blah, blah, blah. And we were under the impression that it would have been significantly inconvenient for Carrie to come over here because it would have been very late when she got home. So she decided to go home and we'd Skype the episode. And then we found out later that Sarah's dance class was canceled.
Yes.
And so it's stupid because Carrie could have been here all along and she's
there,
at
there's
home.
Three ways I could have been there all along. A, if I had found out last night, then I probably would have went ahead and tried to drive myself. Or B, if I had known that Ken would have been more than happy to drive me home tonight. Or C, if Sarah would have known that her class was canceled. In any of those three circumstances, then I would be there instead of here. But now I'm here.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, we're going to... we have comments, you know, and there's the long...
We have a lot of comments.
Well, it's not so much that the comments are great in number, because we've had shows with more comments than this, but it's that many of the individual comments are very long. So we decided for this episode, we're going to break it up and have some comments at the beginning and then some comments at the end, just so that we're not doing it all in one big glut. So,
and just to annoy Bill, his will be at the end.
Yes. So, getting it out of the way... Dan from Flat29 says, "Hey guys, thanks for playing the song you mentioned about how Carrie's tweets inspired it. So, as you know, we write a lot of songs to tight deadlines, which is good for me, as without deadlines I never get anything done as I am a terrible perfectionist. Given no time limits, I'll work on a song for months and months before I am in any way happy with it, and songs often go through lots of different revisions. Now we're doing the podcast and giving ourselves deadlines, that whole process is condensed down into 2 weeks. So often I will start a song, get a certain way into it, and then think, hang on, this isn't working, and start again from scratch. For the orchestra song, I actually had kind of a ballad type of song, half about a romance across an orchestra pit. It's quite nice in places. I may use the music or something else. But then had a crisis of confidence and abandoned it as not good enough. So I talked to my girlfriend and to Rich, but couldn't settle on an idea, so I posted on Twitter for some help. A lot of ideas came in, including Carrie's idea for making an orchestra more cool and relevant for kids, and that gave me the general idea of running through the actual four sections of the orchestra via the medium of rap, which the kids love, and try to make each of the sections sound totally badass. But as I was going along, I got a little bored, so I threw in a synthesizer and a Game Boy section. And by the end, it kind of lost the explaining it to kids element and just became a general silly guide to how I want the orchestra to be. There was a sketch at the start of me saying, 'Kids, want to join the orchestra? It's great. Here's why,' etc. So anyway, I hope that's in some way interesting. Glad you guys liked the song, and thanks for the help, Carrie. Dan. P.S. Minor point. Do you use some sort of leveling software over your podcast? The compression on the track was going kind of insane. As an audio nerd, I am legally bound to point these things out. Well, to answer that bit of it first, yes, my good friend Jared Ringgold of Possible Oscar and The Scope podcast pointed me to a program called Levelator, which basically is mainly, you know, for, you know, podcasts that are primarily spoken word, in which, let's say, you know, I was right up on the microphone and I was interviewing somebody else who was much farther away and the voices were far out of balance. Running your WAV file through the Levelator program basically brings everything to the same volume level without having to go through and adjust it all by hand, you know, which is a nightmarish scenario. Like, quite often, when I'm working on my own songs, and I feel like, oh, there's, you know, I felt the recording was really good, but, you know, I want to try to bring up all of the vocals, you know, to a more even high level of, the highest level I can get it to, and there are some songs that I just went crazy, super obsessive, you know, each parts, you know, part specific parts of specific words, you know, I'm bringing up to, you know, each little thing on these little points on the, it's just, oh, it was maddening.
But can I point out, even though we do use leveling, which I didn't know,
yes,
and both of us are, you know, comedy music nerds, and I'm sort of a general music nerd, but neither of us are audio nerds.
Yeah.
even though we wish we were, but...
I'm entirely self-taught when it comes to this stuff. I've gotten some tips and hints from friends of mine as time has gone on, but I have
no formal
training.
But it's not entire. You're mostly self-taught.
I was about to make a point, and then I just spaced on it.
That's okay. Can I mention something from earlier in the comment?
Sure.
So I just think it's interesting. He says now, like, his podcast gets him to work on a deadline, because that's kind of what the FUMP has done for it did for me for a while when I used to reserve dates ahead of time without, you know, having the song done, or sometimes I didn't even know what song was going to be there. And I think, Luke, this is probably even more true for you. Not that I don't know, I'm a perfectionist at heart, but I haven't been, unfortunately for my own ear, I haven't been enough of a perfectionist in my music. But, yeah, deadlines are a good way to get things done. For me, I don't get much done without them.
So the thing I was going to say is, the way I do the podcast these days is I record it on Adobe Audition, and under normal circumstances, Carrie is right here with me, you know, so our voices are usually pretty clear on this microphone. In this specific episode, since she's on Skype, there's going to be at least a little bit of a fuzz in the background coming from her Skype connection, which, you know, isn't the end of the world or anything. I still think her voice sounds pretty darn clear. But basically, I record the whole thing as a, you know, basically a big WAV file on Adobe Audition, you know, putting the songs and stuff as we go along. Then once I get that done, I turn it all into a big, gigantic WAV file. Then I throw that WAV file into Levelator, so it levelates out everything, so it's all, you know, a decent volume level, so that hopefully people don't have to be, like, turning it up and then turning it down, and then turning it up and then turning it down as it goes from conversations to music and back. And then once I've run it through Levelator, I then take it and turn it into a 64K mono MP3 so that it's a much smaller file size for all of you listening on the podcast. Conversely, the Funny Music Podcast, since that's being put up on archive.org instead of Sarah's server, that one is 128K stereo. But then again, those episodes tend to be much shorter, you know, usually, you know, a half hour to an hour, you know.
I'm going to be firing up Plants vs. Zombies soon if we don't move on.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to, you know, answer the question for Dan and all the other audio nerds out there. So we got to get to...
It's kind of like fight scenes in movies where I can't help it. I just tune out. Can I go on to read Sean's comment now?
The first rule about fight scenes is you don't talk about fight scenes.
Sean says, I can see why some complain about long podcasts. If I have to stop in a long podcast for some reason, want to go back to it later, I sometimes have to hunt and peck to find the spot where I left off. Yeah, I know that feeling. In a two-hour long show like Ellen CBR, that's us, or Nerdist, that can be a pita. We don't know what that means, pita.
It's a tasty treat.
Other than that. How about a compromise? Break the podcast up into three or four chapters. Immediately after you play a song, start a new file. You don't even have to mention it when you're starting a new file. That way it plays through as one episode for those of us who like long ones, but are more digestible for those of us who have short commutes. Smiley face. My iPod doesn't do that, Sean. iPod, you have to start each one individually.
Yeah, nor does mine, so...
Your Zen player.
Yeah, my Zen player.
Luke contemplating getting drunk. So many alcoholic beverages are an acquired taste. If you really want to experience it, I recommend classic screwdrivers, vodka, and orange juice. See, I didn't even know that. That's how much of an alcohol dummy I am. Or a simple vodka and 7-Up. Use good vodka, not the cheap stuff, and certainly nothing made in a pot still. Your head and liver will thank you for it later. I'll warn you, though, there can be some unpleasant things about getting drunk. Ask a glass of water. The free MP3 of the week, I still monitor it for songs that I haven't heard yet, mostly older ones that aren't on your more recent CDs. When I was first introduced to your music, it was one of my primary methods of checking out your work, combined with YouTube videos. I think you need to get something on your main website to give new and potential listeners a taste, perhaps hard-to-save MP3s like the FUMP archives. Yes, I know there's a link to the FUMP on the left-hand side of the page, but if they don't have to leave your website, they'll be more likely to listen. Once you've hooked them on your music, you can then hook them on the FUMP as well. I hope I haven't touched a nerve with Charlie and Flat 29. Hey, look, you're forced to mention them again. Yes, Charlie, it was an early episode that I had listened to, along with most/all of the music at the time. I have had to develop a personal rule about not adding any more podcasts to my queue without removing one, at least until I'm all caught up. I'm still at least 47 hours behind in my podcasts. Luke may have too much stuff, but Sean has too many casts. Flat 29 wasn't disliked, just not liked enough. However, to be fair, I've just downloaded Flat 29's the time-traveling... Musical Adventures of Sherlock Holmes the Musical, and added it to my queue. I don't promise it will get listened to this week, but I will listen to it. Great, now I'm up to 48 hours. I suppose it's the least I can do for Flat 29. After all, we share the same monarch on our money. By the way, someone needs to write a song about Flat 29 to the tune of Chattanooga Choo Choo. Flat 29 is an obvious substitution for the line Track 29. Every time I hear them mentioned, I start humming the tune. Maybe someone in the dementia community will take up the challenge. Perhaps.
Perhaps they will.
So, then we'll go on. Did you want to respond anything to Sean?
Well, thanks for the tips on alcohol and stuff and your opinions on free MP3 of the week. I suppose it's worth mentioning, for those of you who download the podcast right away, that Dan from Flat 29 put up a link on the Flat 29 Twitter feed for a list of all of the tracks that they've done on Big Book of Everything, all the Flat 20 rhymes, as it were, basically asking which of the songs from Flat 20 rhymes were the fans' favorites, and you can pick as many as you want from that list. But, you know, the point is, I guess, to be discerning as to which ones you liked most over others. So I was one of the first people to vote on it when he first posted it earlier today.
Yeah, I voted.
So yes, here in America...
We both voted in two different ways today. Yes. I want to chew gum, but I can't because I'm recording a podcast.
It would be a Chattanooga choo-choo gum chew.
So are we doing the next thing here?
We should. Sorry.
Okay, so 6 days ago, I got done with rehearsal for a gig that I will mention later in the tour dates section. And I knew my husband was gaming nearby, and it was a cold and windy night, and I didn't really feel like abandoning him, and I also didn't really feel like driving home alone. So I surprised him, and I showed up at Black Sun Games at Kedzie Avenue in Chicago. The door was already locked. He was in there gaming with three other guys. I guess they usually have more like six guys. And so they let me in. I came in and sat down. They were playing I guess they call it a tabletop game, but it's I guess it's similar to D&D, I'm assuming, where they use a bunch of sheets where they have to like page through things and write down a bunch of things. I don't remember the name of the game, unfortunately. I guess that would make this story better. But it's some sort of war-related space game. And, you know, he's like, guys, this is Carrie. Carrie, this is everybody. And I sat down next to Josh, and I had to... The game master tried to shut down the game because I showed up, and I'm like, no, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. And so the game proceeded with me there. Now, this is weird for two reasons. One, because there was a noticeable uncomfortableness in the air because a girl had come into the room. It was just really weird. I was, like, really surprised at how uncomfortable they were by my presence, you know. You know, I've been to Gen Con and all these things. You know, I've been to Matt's game night and this and that, and I just... It was quite unexpected. And then the other part that was weird is it was probably the number one geekiest thing I've ever been a part of. Just hearing them talk about, you know, their little battle plans and kind of riffing on each other's, I wish I had prepared an example, but I didn't and I don't improv well, but it was really the nerdiest thing ever. And there was one guy who totally should have been from the Dead Alewives. Like, where's the Mountain Dew? Like, he was like a total thorough geek. Like, I don't know. I thought I had pretty, you know, well-rounded geek exposure, but that was even a little too geeky for me. So that's my story about Black Sun Games.
Cool. basically, for those of you wondering, we kind of are trying to work into the show at the beginning of each episode a little bit, kind of, you know, what's new with Carrie and Luke, you know, just so.
Well, there's a lot of other things going on with me, but that's the only thing I care to mention.
Yeah. I wanted to mention that, especially this being Election Day and all, I watched the Rally to Restore Sanity, and or Fear. That was on Comedy Central, and I really thought it was awesome.
For the portion of a person that doesn't know what that is.
Well, they probably know what it is. Basically, Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, and the, you know, cast and crews of Daily Show and the Colbert Report put on a big rally in D.C., basically in response to all the kind of extremist rallies that have gone on. You know, they're trying to do a rally that's more about, you know, the majority of people who are in the center, who are moderates, who, you know, aren't, you know, going off the deep end. And, you know, most people try to, you know, basically pigeonhole them as being, you know, strictly democratic leftists. But, you know, they seem more like just, you know, realists to me. And, oh, by the way, I should mention here, we did get an email from a listener named Ron, and I very much appreciated the email. He was basically commenting on the only thing he didn't like on the show was when I would make, you know, comments kind of making fun of conservatives or Republicans or whatever, because at least in one specific instance that he mentioned, he thought that I was being mean. And, I think that's fair, you know. I got
a Facebook comment, too, from Andre, and I think... If I'm not totally misremembering, I think he might be leaning towards the right as well. So, but he sent a really nice Facebook comment. He didn't say anything bad about us, but, you know, maybe not all of our listeners share our political views.
Well, that's the thing. I don't consider myself to be, like, big super political guy, but...
Oh, God, me neither.
Yeah, but, you know, I do enjoy what...
Especially the guy part.
I do enjoy the... What, you know, Stewart and Colbert do on their show. And, you know, they go after the left when the left screws up, too, so... But, okay. Let me get to what I wanted to say. I started watching it, and I ended on TiVo, and the thing begins, and it's like, ladies and gentlemen, The Roots, which is, you know, the band from... the Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, and, you know, of course, they had an awesome music career before that, too. So they start playing, and they're playing, and they're playing, and they're playing, and then all of a sudden it's like, ladies and gentlemen, John Legend, and John Legend comes out, he starts singing some song, and he's singing, and he's singing, and then suddenly I stop and, like, hit pause in the TiVo, and I look, 15 minutes had gone by, and I... And this is like, you know, this whole three-hour thing was without commercial interruption from Comedy Central. So it's 15 constant minutes of The Roots and then John Legend. So I just yelled into the other room to Sarah because she had watched it earlier in the day. I'm like, Sarah, do any actual comedians come out at any point during this thing? And she's like, oh, well, I joined it part of the way into it. And, you know, the band finished up and then, yeah, you know, funny stuff starts happening. So I decide, you know, I mean, I've already been watching them for 15 minutes, but I just... was much more interested in what was the real meat of the show was supposed to be. So I start fast-forwarding through it. 38 minutes. The first 38, with no commercial breaks, minutes. 38 minutes of The Roots and John Legend. And I'm just like, it's called Comedy Central! What the fuck? You know, it's like, I've always been annoyed on Saturday Night Live that they, you know, that two times during each episode, we have to stop and, you know... listen to some pop singer do a song. I would rather have two more sketches. I mean, personally.
Well, you can't laugh constantly. I mean, your, you know, abdominal muscles need a break and a cool down, you know.
So, and the thing that immediately followed The Roots was Adam and Jamie from the Mythbusters coming out and basically kind of playing around with the crowd and doing some experiments, which was kind of neat, but wasn't really like, you know, like, ha-ha, majorly funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 55 minutes into it is when the actual real show starts. So basically, my guess is...
You're such a comedy Nazi.
Kind of, yeah. Well, you know, it's they promised a big comedy show, and, you know, it's not like if John would have come out and said, hey, everyone, I'm John Stewart, we're going to start the rally soon, but first, you know, we're going to make sure all of our equipment is working, you know, before we get into the big show, so... To open the event, here's The Roots, and then The Roots started playing. At least I would have been like, okay, you know,
yeah.
One of our comedy hosts came out and told us what the fuck is going on. Because if I had, like, gone all the way to D.C. about 30 minutes into that, I would have been like, ah! I would have, like, made a sign that says...
You are, though. You are such a comedy Nazi.
Well, that's my bag. That's the thing I'm into the most.
You'll never forgive one of the best films of all time, The Graduate, for its existence, just because some... dumb fucker and Blockbuster classified it as a comedy.
No, that movie is always classified as a comedy. Every time you see it on a list of AFI's top 100 blah 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 films, it's always The Graduate is always listed as a comedy.
Well, you know, it's not really haha funny, but it's a great work of art. And
yeah, I agree with you.
You were unable to appreciate it because it was called a comedy.
Well, it's like, I'm sure many of Woody Allen's films, if I watched them, I'd feel the same way, you know, if I ever got around to seeing...
Well, those have more jokes in them than The Graduate.
Yeah. Anyway, so the other thing I wanted to mention about the rally show itself was, it was a decent, all right, you know, show. They did some funny stuff. I mean, the main important thing was John's, you know, keynote speech, you know, towards the very end. But in the middle, Stewart and Colbert attempted to do this song... which was the thing I was singing at the beginning, sort of. But It was like, and they claimed they rehearsed it, but like, John starts singing, and he just, like, didn't know what fucking key he was supposed to be singing in when the song started. Oops. And like, Colbert's like right on, like, where he's supposed to be, but he was like, and then like, by the time they got like, you know, a third of the way into the song, John had finally found the key, and it was a cool... you know, cute, funny song, and if they had pulled it off much better, I probably would have wanted to play it on this show. But
you know you're singing off key when even Luke Ski says you're singing off key, too off key for his ears.
I just felt so bad because it was such a cool, cute song. It's almost like I want to do a cover version of it, just so that, you know, a better version of the song exists than the, you know, or more ideally, if Stewart and Colbert like did a studio version and put it on iTunes, I would totally buy it. You know,
he was probably just nervous.
So
he never sings in front of people, does he?
He did like a song on Colbert's Christmas album a year ago. You know,
John Stewart did.
Yeah, John Stewart made an appearance. He did a song about Hanukkah. It was awesome.
But that's pre-recorded, so it's not live, right?
Yeah. So
live is totally different.
So the last thing I wanted to mention about the whole rally thing, I mean, I thought it was all a cool, neat, positive experience. But the best thing about it, wasn't even the show itself on the stage. The best thing about it is the, 215,000 people who showed up, and the great majority of them who made awesome, hilarious signs. The freaking signs the people made is some of the, I mean, that's like...
I still need to look at that online. I haven't gotten around to it. I haven't had time.
I'll put links to a few of the main pages that have the sign pictures in the description of this episode, so you can go and just click on some links and you can see some of these signs. But dear Lord, some of them were so incredibly funny and hilarious that I wish they'd publish a book of pictures of the signs from the rally. That's how fucking funny these things were. Somebody had a sign, "Hey Fox, bring back Joss Whedon." It was fucking... Or like, some of my favorites were the ones that were just obscure references to like pop culture shit that only I would pick up on. Like one of them had a sign that said, "Don't you hate pants?" Which is from the episode of The Simpsons where Krusty goes all bohemian and like he's doing stand-up in a comedy club and Homer's trying to convince him to do a rant about how bad pants are so that he doesn't have to wear pants anymore. So Homer's in the audience and he just shouts to Krusty, "Don't you hate pants?" So somebody made a fucking sign of that at the rally. I'm like, that's fucking brilliant.
Awesome.
So yeah, there's like literally hundreds, I saw at least 600 pictures of different signs that were hilarious. So that was my favorite part of the rally, was seeing like awesome, funny, creative American people getting together peacefully and being witty and funny and just awesome. So
signs everywhere, a sign. Oh, how many songs are we going to have this episode?
Oh, yes. That was the other thing. We had mentioned a long time ago that episode 27 was going to be a special big deal, and we were going to do a super long episode. Well, all of our episodes lately have been super long episodes, so we're going to, in this episode...
Here's an extra super long episode.
So we are making an attempt to have less talk and more rock, so to speak.
Yeah, we're not doing good so far on that attempt.
Well, yeah. So anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to do double songs. Each song break will have two songs instead of one to celebrate that this is episode 27, which for us is a milestone for reasons that will be explained shortly. So the first double set of songs we're going to go into is two in a row, hot, playing back-to-back rock and roll here in the USA, Insane Ian and the Musicians and special guest friends coming up right here on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. Carrie, what do you say?
He's not really insane.
Well, then we need to have a rally to restore insanity for Insane Ian.
Yes.
So let's all go to where Ian lives in wherever the fuck he lives, Baltimore or something. And
yes,
you know,
Baltimore.
And we'll restore Ian's insanity, and we'll go picket GameStop. So anyway,
loot.
So here he is, Insane Ian. Right now.
Hello? Is there anyone in here? It's so dark. Sarah? Steven? Where'd you guys go? Maybe down this dimly lit pathway to the basement. Are you guys messing around? Why is the floor so sticky? Oh, I can't see anything. Oh, man. Not again. Holy crap, you guys. Are you all okay? Who the fuck this field trip would turn out the this way. When we left today for this factory, never thought this would be our final resting place. You know, we were so surprised when we found this place was built on ancient burial ground. But the teacher didn't really seem to fear when couples from our group began to disappear. First Greg and Peg both vanished together, then Alfred was gone, quickly followed by Heather. Just heard Sarah and Steven starting to shout. They had just run off to go make out. I'm only still alive because I'm still a virgin. The killer shut them up like he's some kind of surgeon. Inspector Buddy parts way up on a shelf. Oops, I think I just sold myself. Oh my god, we're all gonna die. Oh my god, we're all gonna die. Slice and dice, slice and psycho, perfect guy. And I think that I'm gonna cry. So my god, killer's on the loose. What's he want? How do we call a truce? My guy was hung, but now it's from a noose. I don't think I can live to this abuse.
Everybody, let's all calm down. Everything is gonna be alright. But right now we need a leader, and it ought to be me, cause after all, I'm the captain of the football team. I outrank you all. So what's the situation? Emily's dead. A psychopath took a weed whacker to her head. We're trapped inside a house and there's a killer coming at us. Hang on, let me post it on my Facebook status. We need to find weapons. Everybody look around. If we split up into teams, then we can cover more ground. You two go upstairs. If you need me, send a text. I'll be here with the hot cheerleader having sex. Insert obligatory nude scene here. That was great. Nice rack. Hey, you got any beer? Yeah, you go freshen up. I'll be here when you get back. Hey, what was that?
Now you're even better in the sack.
Oh my god, we're all gonna die. Oh my god, we're all gonna die. He's from Lily and Myra. He's a pie. Sing out the shortest in the last of the stars. What did we do to deserve this little friends? Tell us now, maybe we can make amends. Is there anyone willing to defend this cute chicken when she needs a push man? Wait a minute here. Aren't you that nerd?
Scene, a cold chill and a scream reveal the killer is me. A chainsaw in one hand, machete in the other, in a mask and coveralls, all bloodily covered in the guts of your friends. You're realizing it then that historically the last means the goriest end. I get your neck in my grasp as you grab at my mask, and the last bullet's away from my face as you gasp. It's you! Yeah, it's me, and it was all along. Your creepy outcast classmate never invited along to join in the fun of this field trip or any other. So I got my revenge and built a shrine to my mother. And now you're gonna die too, like all of the rest. Could stick an axe in your face or punch a hole in your chest or chop you in half. Watching every drop of you drain. You've got the body, I've got the brain.
Oh my god, we're all gonna die. Oh my god, we're all gonna die. Maybe more you can save me from the sky. Maybe I'll let you in between my thighs. Please tell me you thought you'd be gone. Or you know an escape route we can run. You say weapons you've got, not a one. I think this time we surely must be done.
The game's at an end, it looks like we're screwed. To get chopped up by some mask-wearing dude. But I look to the chick, my hope's been renewed. I'm not gonna die before I've touched a boob. You got me by the neck, everything's going black. I reach in my backpack for something to attack. I rummage around, at your face I will claw. Till I find the missing gypsy's voodoo doll. I speak the magic words that the old woman taught me. And never again will you come back to haunt me. I banish your soul, I send you to hell. And for extra measures, I kick you as well. It looks like I've won, I'm the hero revered. No one seems to see the killer's body disappeared. And I got the girl, to me there is no equal.
That's okay, kid, I'll just kill you in the sequel.
Greetings, hot girls. Dress like you're nerdy.
I know a place where a lot of things are nerdy. Chicks in outfits that get me thinking thoughts so dirty. Dressing in corsets.
Don't forget bustiers.
They stayed up all night sewing costumes.
You guys got a hot glue gun.
We gawk as they walk. Jaws drop as they enter the ballroom.
Alright.
Pay attention to detail. They went all week to impress the geeks. Costume heroes and chains. Fiction girls, they are so popular. Slavely young,
maybe.
Dressed as some obscure heroes or villains. You can travel the world from Comic-Con to Con. They got it going on. They are just everyday girls who love what I love. Oh, oh, oh. Superhero girls, they are spectacular. Super short skirt on suit.
Fantastic.
Oh, video game girls, they are so digital. Lara Croft's tomb is overrated. Chun-Li's thunder thighs won't win the street fight. Hi-ya-ya, hi-ya-ya-ya.
Dragon Con or San Diego, I'll go wherever they go. PAX, East, West Coast, these are the girls I love the most. Elastigirl makes my picks hard to twirl. Save the cheerleader, save the world. That Jessica Dame, Starbucks, the same hot as the coffee with her name. There's Evie with Kaylee, and from BSG, six is a 10 to me. Dr. Girlfriend with a deep, sexy voice shows Kim Possible how to get boys. Wonder Woman, tie me up. Costume contest, I'm up. Chitara, Inara, Zatanna with Uhura, led by Queen Amidala, Leela, and Xena. Got the power like She-Ra. Judge Chris Waffle tells every cutie.
Come on, fangirl, shake that booty.
Cosplaying fangirls, they are incredible. From comic books to anime, spandex is a privilege. It is not a right. Oh, 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 oh. Cosplaying fangirls, they are so popular. Guys fight for a picture with.
So Carrie was just totally burping, and we didn't record any of it.
Because I don't approve of recording burps and putting them into people's ear holes. It's wrong. It's morally offensive.
Hey, this is America, and I vote for people, and hey, I'm done gonna burp into the microphone, into my pot of my cast if I want to.
Well, I know you are.
Anyway,
so this topic of the weird of the owl.
Well, first we got to back announce that the songs we heard were "We're All Gonna Die" by Insane Ian featuring Kiki Cannon, Devo Spice, and the awesome Schaefer the Dark Lord. You may have picked up on the very beginning of that song. You hear people screaming and getting murdered. That would be myself and Carrie. So,
and if you were trying to come up with a list of like all the best funny music songs, you know, you'd end up just putting like almost all of Schaefer the Dark Lord's songs on there because that's how awesome Schaefer the Dark Lord is.
Yes. And then we also heard the other recent song by Insane Ian called Cosplaying Fangirls by Insane Ian featuring me, the great Luke Ski. Yes, I actually wrote and performed the Snoop Dogg part of that song and improvised a lot of stuff that he put in there, so I'm really happy with that song. I think it's awesome. I'm very happy that it exists. And we've just played it for you now. And both.
So if I feature you in my songs, I can make you write your own verses?
If that's the way it goes.
Of course, I already did that once.
Yeah.
But
You're asking me this as if it hasn't been done before with you and I, but you know.
Well,
anyway,
you might be in more of my songs if I can make you write more of them.
Well, what are you going to do next? Get like, you know, 2 dozen, you know, Fump artists to just send you stuff and you put it in the middle of your song?
Great idea. Anyways, so you wanted to talk about Weird Al?
Okay, so the number 27, and, you know, we can't assume that everyone knows stuff because of things. Wow, I'm articulate. Good God.
Yeah.
It's a good thing I voted this morning when my head was clear. Anyway, the number 27, why are people in the funny music scene so caught up with that number? Here's why. In Weird Al Yankovic's early career, he just kind of by accident ended up using the number 27 in a handful of songs And my theory as to why that number was used is because it's a four-syllable number, 27, and it just, the syncopativeness of it is, you know, is pretty easy to say or to sing or to, you know,
but
rattle
off.
That
was probably not a totally conscious thing, though.
Yeah, and the fact that 27, it's kind of like, you know, kind of an, I mean, it is literally an odd number, but it's just an odd, as in kind of a strange number. It's like, you know, if you said 25 or 30, you know, there's probably other, you know, connotations that go with it, but 27 was a number that had no, you know, associations with it, or just, you know, just, it was, you know, much higher than, you know, 13 or I don't know. It was just kind of a good all-purpose four-syllable number to throw into a song, and, you know, I've seen Porky's 27 times this week on my cable TV. So he used the number 27 here and there. And some fans who were doing a Weird Al fanzine called The Midnight Star, which was named after another song of his, more on that later, noticed this whole 27 thing. So they started looking for instances of the number 27 appearing in Weird Al's other work or things that he had written, books he had done, you know, basically trying to find this number. And they started keeping a list in their fanzine, you know, the 27 list of all the times Al mentioned 27. Now, Al, I don't know if he was specifically subscribed to that fanzine or not, but I have to assume John Bermuda Schwartz was, the person who, you know, the drummer from Al's band, who is also his historian for the band. And Al learned of this, that the fans were keeping an eye out for the number 27. So once Al knew the fans were looking for 27, Al started specifically putting the number 27 into songs on purpose, just to, as a nod to the fans, kind of a Where's Waldo kind of thing, like, oh shit, look, he's at 27 again. So, you know, if you look at on the cover of the Running With Scissors album, the number on his chest as he's running down the track is 27. 27 is on the license plate of the car on Straight Outta Linwood. I mean, basically, it's all over the place now that, you know, and in one of his songs, Albuquerque, he said 26 and a half just to, you know, mess with us. So basically, people in Weird Al fandom and then kind of, you know, kind of extended into Dementia General Comedy Music fandom, you know, started basically using 27 as our kind of secret call number to each other, which is why in my song Fanboy, towards the end, I say the number 27 in there for seemingly no reason at all. In fact, I've had fans contact me over the years saying, you know, yeah, me and my friends sat down and we listened to the Fanboy song. We were able to name every reference, the origin of every reference you made in this song, except for saying 27. What's that one all about? So I got to school them on that whole thing. So much like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, you know, fans and other nerds all make a big deal about the number 42. Us Weird Al and Dementia fans make a big deal about the number 27. And here's an interesting thing. 27 plus 42 equals 69, dude! Whoa! So there's it. So since this is episode 27, it only made sense for us to discuss Weird Al on some level. So, you know, but I don't want to get too long-winded because God knows that I will. So, Carrie.
You have.
Carrie,
yes.
So what was the first time you ever heard of Weird Al or heard a song by Weird Al?
Well, I was so young that I wouldn't be able to pinpoint that moment. But, you know, I heard him on the radio a lot when I was a young, small child. And my mom took me to see him at the Minnesota State Fair when I was about 7 years old. And I was really excited to see him, but then when I got there, I was kind of too young to appreciate the... Plus, I could never decipher lyrics, especially the first 20 years of my life. I just couldn't understand song lyrics ever. So I didn't really get a lot out of my first Al concert. But interesting to note that I think the first time I ever bought cassette tapes for playing music. I think I bought two or three at the same time, but one of them was definitely Weird Al I think Off the Deep End, maybe. And, like, basically, I think I was given... I was trying to get something harder, like Metallica or Guns... No, I think I wanted Guns N' Roses, and my mom wouldn't let me buy it. So then I got Weird Al instead. And in, I believe, the year 2000, I saw my second Weird Al concert, also at the Minnesota State Fair, but a much more grandiose production in the grandstand there. And that was awesome. And I think I think I've officially seen him 6 times now. And his latest albums keep getting better and better. His musical talent is off the charts, as well as his comedic talent. And Weird Al's awesome. So what's your Weird Al history?
Well, just as a side note, a future topic I'd like to do on this show is discussing record albums from our early life that really helped shape who we became today. And this first one that I'm going to mention will definitely be on that list, so I'll try not to go into it too much. But basically, it was some form of, I don't know if it was actually K-Tel or not, but that was one of those kind of things, like a K-Tel compilation record called Just for Laughs, and the cover of it was an illustration of, like, a sofa with a big pair of, like, lips on, you know, a big mouth on it, like, open, like it's laughing, and I think it may have had, like, headphones on or something like that, but the album was called Just for Laughs, and it had, Bob and Doug McKenzie's take off on it. I think it had Valley Girl by Frank Zappa, the two songs by Mary Wilson, and just, you know, like a bunch of the kind of, you know, late 70s, early 80s well-known novelty song hits were on this one, you know, record that had 11 or 12 songs on it. And it also had the original version of My Bologna by Weird Al Yankovic. I'm pretty sure it was the one recorded in the bathroom, the original, you know, cut, not the album cut. And then it also had another one, Rides the Bus, on it, which was recorded live in the Dr. Demento show. So that was the first time I saw, you know, the name Weird Al Yankovic on an album.
Oh, yeah, my mom had one of them, oh, what are they called? A really one of them single-sided albums. Like, we're a small album where it's just one song on each side.
A single.
She had
a 45. Well,
45. She had a 45 of Another One Rides the Bus, and on the other side it had my it had I Want a Boogie.
Wow. Does she, if she still has that, that's probably worth a pretty decent chunk of money.
Really?
To a collector, anyway.
I can't remember what became of her album collection. I'd have to ask her.
Yeah, if it's the original TK release, that's wow. There's others who probably know more off the top of their heads than I do about it, but anyway. I got that album. Me and my sister listened to it over and over again. We thought that album was hilarious, and, you know, his name just kind of stuck in my head. And then I can't remember exactly when it was after that, but Amy came to me and said, you know, hey, Luke, remember that guy Weird Al Yankovic that was on that album? And I was like, yeah. She's like, he's on the radio. He has this new song. It's a, you know, it's like Michael Jackson. You got to hear it. So
Amy being your sister.
Amy being my older sister. Yes. And then she we ran into the other room and I just caught, like, you know, the end of the song Eat It on the radio, voice recognizing that it was him. And it was like, wow, that's so cool. You know, so my cousin Jeff, I don't know, you know, exactly when or where he got it or whatever. He got the album in 3D by Weird Al that the song Eat It is from. So at some point, he let me borrow that cassette of Eat It. And I just, the cassette of In 3D, which contained Eat It, and it was like, you know, in the age before CDs, if there was a song you really liked on a cassette, you'd listen to the whole song, and then you'd have to stop and hit rewind, and then hit play, and then listen to the song again. So it was like, I went through all these weird phases where I'd listen to the tape, and different songs at different times would catch my attention. So it's like, for a while, I'd be just playing the song, eat it over and over again. And then for a while, I would be playing the song Midnight Star over and over again. And then, you know, I'd kind of go through the album in a random pattern, picking out different songs I kind of got hooked into, you know, but that, you know, album was, you know, a big deal to me. And then,
remember, this is supposed to be the brief history.
Yeah, well, it's going to be brief because I'm going to cut it off before, you know.
Okay, you don't have to explain, just go on.
Okay, so then, you know, we had gotten cable, but, you know, I wasn't, like, you know, hip enough to what was going on to really be aware of what he was doing on MTV, but around about the time, you know, Like a Surgeon hit, I was finally clued off, like, oh, you know, Al does these specials on MTV called Al TV, and he has a new album out, and the video started coming out, so I went to a store in Lake Geneva that is no longer there. In fact, the chain probably doesn't exist anymore. It was called Prangy Way. And so my mom and I went to Prangy Way.
Okay.
You know, it was like your average, you know, well, I hesitate to say Kmart, but yeah, like, you know, Kmart, Walmart, you know, but, you know, it was, I know it was at least a regional chain, but it was called, you know, Prange space Way, Prangy Way. I have no idea what that means. I'm assuming Prangy was somebody's name. Anyway, so went to Prangy Way, and that was the first, like, album I ever bought with my own money, was Weird Al Yankovic's Dare to Be Stupid on cassette. And I still have that cassette to this day. So, you know, and that album to this day remains my favorite Weird Al album, probably just because of the you know, the nostalgia, the old schoolness of it all. And then, you know, once again, no internet, no way to find out information. I eventually figured out that there was a third Weird Al album, which was, in fact, his first album that I didn't have yet. So since my dad worked in Gurnee, which was a much more of an industrious place with, like, you know, malls and record stores, I was able to talk my dad into, you know, hunting down a copy of the, you know, first self-titled album by Weird Al Yankovic and picking it up on cassette. So now cool. I had that album. And I, you know, that's, you know, so that was, like, you know, the real beginnings of me being a fan of his. A year after Dare to Be Stupid came out is when Polka Party came out, because his record label was rushing him into getting another album out right away while he was still, like, popular. But it was kind of, well, I'll go more into that later. But needless to say, at that age, at that time, I was so happy to get another Weird Al album so quickly. I listened to it over and over and over again. And then, like, a couple years went by without an Al album, and that was kind of a bummer. But then Even Worse came out. I remember there used to be this game, this video game for PCs called California Games, where it was like, you know, what were the six different levels? There was, like, BMXing, surfing, skateboarding, hacky sack, and, like, a couple other things. But I remember listening to the Weird Al Even Worse album over and over and over again while playing California Games. You know, just it's like, you know, just whenever I hear certain songs from that album, in my mind, I'm just picturing, you know, the little computer guy on a bicycle going over jumps and doing okay. tricks and stuff.
Are you going to go through every album that ever came out?
No, I'm only going to go to one more thing, and that is... Okay. UHF, which, you know, came out in 89, I managed to catch UHF in the theater during its original run three times, which is kind of an amazing feat considering, you know, how many other big blockbusters it came out, released up against, and that, you know, basically one movie theater in Delavan, which was like a couple towns over, had it, and I managed to talk my mom into letting, you know, driving me and JT out there to see it. So we saw it once there, and then the local cheapy dollar theater, which I didn't even really know it was what a dollar theater was. I just knew that they got movies later and, you know, cost a lot less to go see them there. So they, you know, because I frequented that theater so much with my family, and I had asked them, "Are you guys going to get UHF? Are you guys going to get UHF?" they normally only had, like, you know, they had one screen, but they would normally have two movies, which they would alternate. So you could, like, pay one admission price to get in and then see, like, two movies. So The guy who ran the theater, you know, bless his heart, he got UHF, but then he made it, like, kind of like the midnight movie, so to speak. So the other movies were showing, like, in the afternoon and evening, like, you know, movie A, movie B, movie A, movie B. But then at 11 p.m., he had UHF, you know, like for a week or two. And during that time, I managed to catch it twice. And, man, it meant so much to me that, you know, because back in the day before, you know, VHS and DVD and blah, 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 all this other stuff, you kids, hey, you know, it's like that was my only chance to see that film. I had no idea if and when, well, not if, but, you know, I had no idea when I was going to have the chance to actually see it and enjoy it multiple times over and over and over again was. So the fact that I got to see it that many times, like, meant the world to me. So,
yeah.
So I'll cut it off there, because, you know, but it's like it was such a huge part of my childhood, and it, you know, meant so much to me, you know. And obviously, you know, I'd like to think of I'm my own man and I'm my own performer, and that I do things in my own way so that I'm not just another Weird Al wannabe. I mean, you know, there's
only some really old songs of yours where you're trying to sing like him.
Well, that's the thing. It's like when you're sitting in the car, for years I would, you know, sing along with Weird Al songs, and it wasn't, I can't remember when it was, but one day I finally realized, you know, that I was singing all up here, all nasally, trying to sing like Weird Al does, and finally it dawned on me, wait, why am I singing it that way? That's not what my voice sounds like, you know, so there's so many, you know, people who have come up in the funny music world, and that's their music sounds like, dude, stop trying to sing like Weird Al. Stop fucking wearing Hawaiian shirts when you go and perform. You know, it's, and even the thing, you know, and I don't want to bust the balls of friends of mine because they get,
you're going off on a tangent. You're your own man, but Weird Al has had.
Yeah.
You know, and the biggest influence of your life or, you know.
Yeah, but and just advice to up-and-coming funny music makers out there, you know, yes, obviously Al's, you know, an awesome person to look up to and to try to emulate, but at some point you got to find your own voice and be your own performer and come up with your own identity is the point. So, yeah. Anyway, to put an interesting potential audience participation thing into this, I wanted to ask Carrie what your favorite Weird Al song is, if you have one, or name a few.
Well, I didn't put a lot of thought into this, but a lot of my favorites are on the recent albums because he just seems to be constantly getting better. I really like White and Nerdy, and I really like Virus Alert and all kinds of things off the two most recent albums. But I've always been a really huge fan of his polkas. Possibly Polka Your Eyes Out or Bohemian Polka could possibly be my favorite. Are we going to least favorite? Should I go into my least favorite or should do your favorite?
Well, wait, why don't you do your least favorite?
The only thing that really popped into mind is Melanie. Not a big fan of that song. You know, he doesn't have too many bad songs.
Okay. Traditionally, well, you know, over the years, if you were to ask me what my favorite Al songs were, for originals, I'd have to say Dare to Be Stupid. For polkas, I'd say probably Bohemian Polka, just because I really liked that he did, you know, an entire song, you know, like, you know, doing an entire song in polka style as opposed to just a vignette of it.
Oh, God, that Pancreas song was amazing.
Yeah.
Is it called just Pancreas?
Pancreas,
or?
Yeah.
Oh, he's unfucking believably good at doing the Beach Boys Brian Wilson style parody. Unfucking believable. Blew my mind.
Yeah. It's hard for me to pick a parody of his that I could consider my favorite. God, you know, and I want to kind of default and say Yoda just because, you know, of a billion reasons that are obvious. But, you know, I do want to give him props for all his recent work. I really liked CNR, the recent song about Charles Nelson Reilly. I thought that was hilarious.
Well, it may not be obvious to everyone. I mean, he almost always closes, Weird Al almost always closes his concert with Yoda and does an extended version of it with the band that we won't get into describing.
Well, the other reasons why I've always said it's my favorite is, A, it's from the Dare to Be Stupid album, which, as I've said, was my favorite for many old school reasons. B, my name is Luke, and it's a Star Wars song. And in the song, he says, Luke, stay away from the darker side, and etc., you know.
Yeah.
So there's that whole connection, and, you know, but yeah, it's a... You know, if I try to get too analytical and think of like, wait, oh, there's this and that, then the, you know, the podcast will go on forever. But
oh, it will anyway.
It will go on at least a little while longer because right now it's time for a special segment that we all love it, you all love it, everybody loves it, and it's called Let's Call Ken. Hit it, Carrie.
Yay. Every once in a while, every now and again, ring. Hello. Let's call Ken. Ding! Thought you were going to do the hello part.
Oh, sorry. I was busy dialing the phone.
Hello.
Hey, Ken.
Carrie's here, too, but I don't know if you can hear me.
Oh, wait. I just realized you can't hear Carrie.
Okay, I won't. You address him, then.
Okay, so, hi, Ken. Thank you for being on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. Carrie is at her home on Skype, so I have her in my headphones, and that's why you can't hear her.
Makes sense.
So the big question is, what's your favorite Weird Al Yankovic song?
Favorite? Wow, that's way too many. I have to go with Another One Rides the Bus because that was the one I still holds true to my heart because that's the song I love. That's the song I discovered him.
Cool, cool. And about what time? What year was that?
That would have been 1981 when I was taking a crowded bus to and from school every day. A crowded CTA bus to and from school, and the song was so accurate, it just...
Well, no...
so I fell in love with it right away.
Well, cool, cool. Just for the sake of having something to discuss, do you happen to have a least favorite Weird Al song?
Actually, I do. I would basically say it's addicted to spud because by then it was just too many food songs. There was just one. I saw a performer one time at the Tonight Show. It was just one joke, and it was just to the point where it just got too many food songs for me. It sounded like he was just trying too hard at that point.
Well, actually, this ties into my favorite or my least favorite Weird Al song, which is a song from that same album, which was titled "Don't Wear Those Shoes."
Oh, God. That was a bad song.
Yeah. And the reason why that album, Polka Party, didn't do too well overall is because his record label was rushing him into releasing it because they wanted to try to have him sell more albums while, you know, he was still really hot with, you know, Eat It and then Like a Surgeon and, you know, et cetera. So they basically, they've kind of forced him to crank out an album in, like, about a year. Normally, Al has, like, a good, you know, 3 or 4 year span between albums so that he can really pick the cream of the crop of songs to parody and, you know, things to spoof. And when he with only a year to go, he kind of had to grasp at some straws there. I mean, that was the album that contained the song Here's Johnny, a parody of Who's Johnny about Ed McMahon, and a parody of the Rolling Stones song Ruthless People from a movie called Ruthless People, and the parody was called Toothless People. It's like, I look back at that now, it's like, wow, what a desperate search for to find something to hook onto, you know?
Living with a came out and living with a hernia.
That's the best example of that. Living with a hernia. It's like, wow,
I kind of like that song.
Well, yeah, but I mean, still, it's like going from, you know, My Bologna to Eat It to Like a Surgeon to Living with a Hernia. I mean, it's like, I don't know. Plus, it just seemed like he has such a big following amongst really young kids, and I don't think really young kids even knew what a hernia was or could really relate. So
I suppose.
But you know, he came back strong. You know, in the next album with Fat, of course, and. The rest is history. So, all right. Well, thank you very much for contributing to the show, Ken.
Bye, even though you can't hear me.
Thanks for allowing me to contribute. Catch up. See you sometime soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye. Why aren't you saying bye to me, Ken? Bye.
Because he doesn't love you anymore. Hey, Carrie. Carrie.
What?
Joke!
Joke?
Joke. So, now would be an appropriate time to play a song by Weird Al, but we're not! We're going to play a cover version of a song by Weird Al. This is by Håkon Sundre, an old friend of my friend Stephanie's from back in the Al fandom days of the mid-90s and such. I think he's out in L.A. right now. Anyway, he and his band did a cover of Weird Al's song about tabloid newspapers called Midnight Star. So we're going to play that, followed by a song by Rob Parravonian, which was recorded live at one of the Alcon conventions, which ties into something we referenced both in the recent wedding episode of the podcast and on the video episode of this podcast with the puppets and stuff. So we'll have that, and then we'll have some news of the stupid. Anything else to say right now, Carrie?
Spoon.
Okay. Fork. Salt. Song.
Express lane with my 12 items or less at the checkout counter at the local grocery store. I was only passing by, but a paper caught my eye, and I learned a few things I never knew before. It said, your pet may be an extraterrestrial. It said the ghost of Elvis is living in my den. You can learn to cope with stress, and you can beat the IRS, and the incredible frog boy is on the loose again. Oh, Midnight Star, it's in the weekly Midnight Star. Aliens from outer space are sleeping in my car. Midnight Star, I wanna know, I wanna know. Eat jelly donuts and lose 20 pounds a day. Hear the story of the man born without a head. And top psychics all agree that the telephone company will have a brand new service that lets you talk to the dead. Oh, Midnight Star, you can't believe it if you read it in the weekly Midnight Star. They're keeping Hitler's brain alive inside a jar. Midnight Star, I wanna know, I wanna. The UFOs have landed, and we'll tell you where they are. Midnight Star, I wanna know, I wanna know.
Midnight Star.
Well, you can read all about it in the weekly Midnight Star. You can use your ESP to learn to play.
I want to know.
like mine wanna know.
Dude, man, I love Baroque music. Yeah, you guys know what that is. That's just a little song called Pachelbel's Canon in D. Yes, everyone likes it, except me. Because I have the wonderful fortune of being a cello player. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Wow, you play cello? I thought you were really cool. You play the guitar. No, I played the cello growing up, and it explains a lot, doesn't it? We played a lot of beautiful music, and I loved playing all the classical music except this piece, because the cello part is 8 notes that we played 54 times. We played these 8 notes. D, A, B, F sharp, G, G, A. That's it. That's all we got to play. If you ever see Pachelbel perform live by an orchestra, watch the cello section. They're bored out of their minds. We're looking around. We're listening. You know what we're doing? We're listening to all the other lovely parts. The first violins, they get lovely melodies, which is normal. You know, they're pre-bananas. They always get to play the lovely melodies. But then the second violins get melodies. And that's like, okay. But then they give the violas melodies. And that should just never happen. And the cellos, we get 8 notes. And my theory was that Pachelbel dated a cellist way back when, and she dissed him really bad, maybe took all his money. So for the rest of his life, he wrote the most boring cello parts he could ever come up with. And I know what you're thinking, Rob, just let it go, man. Get over it. Just don't listen to classical music. You'll be fine. That's the problem. Pachelbel's following me. It may sound a little crazy. The other night, I turned on the movie The Legend of Billy Jack. I heard Pachelbel, not the theme song, because it went, "Listen, children, to my story. It was written long ago." So I turned that off, listened to some rock, some Aerosmith. "There was a time when I was so brokenhearted." La, da, 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 da. I don't even go to Taco Bell anymore because it sounds too close to Pachelbel. I hate this man with a passion, and I don't know his first name. Probably Johan. They're all named Johan. Think about it, he's the original one-hit wonder, paved the way for the Four Non-Blondes. He's had it. 300 years from now, we'll be hearing the Four Non-Blondes right after Pachelbel on the radio. And I'll be going crazy because he's infiltrating music that I really like. If you just stay away, but he won't. I went to the Horde Fest to listen to some Blues Traveler. Didn't get to hear it. I heard Pachelbel. Suck it in, remember, in a rin-tin-tin. Made a split move and then you're in. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And then I figure I'll just listen to punk rock for the rest of my life. Pachelbel won't touch that. No. Do you have the time to listen to me whine? You know I'm getting really bored. Cause all songs have the same damn chord. Punk music is a joke, it's really just Baroque. Am I just paranoid? La 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 la. Pretty women walking with gorillas down my street. Hit me with your best shot. Why won't you hit me with your best shot? We're not gonna take it. No, we ain't gonna take it. On your mark, get set, and go now. Got a dream and we just know now. I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel. I am cold and I am shamed. I'm digging on the floor. No woman, no cry. When I find myself in times of trouble, Pachelbel's always following me. I'll see you in hell, Pachelbel. Oh, Pachelbel, Pachelbel. I'll see your ass in hell. I'll see you in hell, Pachelbel.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Alcon.
I do.
And now it's time for
News of the Stupid!
Created by Devo Spice, visit devospice.com, compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove it innocent, cause it makes it so to me.
It's not too often that a criminal gets captured twice within the same incident. In this instance, the perpetrator was first captured on film. Well, to be more accurate, on a digital camera. So few people use film anymore, but you know what I mean. Anyway, in Madison, a man captured in a vacationing family's photograph as he stole their bag in front of the Wisconsin State Capitol received a 5-day jail sentence and a nearly $500 fine. Glenn Lambright was given credit for time already served after pleading no contest to misdemeanor theft earlier this month. Vacationer John Myers of Bloomfield, New Jersey, had set the self-timer on his camera and hustled into the frame with his wife and two children. Meanwhile, a man grabbing a bag containing Myers' wallet and other items. After discovering the bag missing, Myers checked his camera and found a photo with a man picking up the bag in the background. Myers showed the photo to police, who recognized the man and tracked him down. Considering that the police recognized him just by seeing his photo indicates that this probably wasn't his first offense.
So when police bust you by using photos of you committing the crime, is that what you call a Kojak moment? Ocean City, Maryland State Police said a drunken 47-year-old Florida man wearing a diaper was arrested for shouting profanities while trick-or-treating. Police said Joseph David Devana of Sarasota, Florida, was arrested about 9:15 p.m. on Halloween and charged with disorderly conduct. Police said witnesses reported Devana cursed at adults and children in the Fox Chapel neighborhood of West Ocean City as he tried to get them to give him candy. If we assume his trick-or-treat bag was full and that in his stupor he had lost control of his bowels, then it could be said that in three different ways simultaneously that he was loaded. Incidentally, Drunken Diaper Trick-or-Treat Profanities is the name of my Lynyrd Skynyrd cover band.
In Fayetteville, North Carolina, some other criminals thought they could break even on the bad karma they were getting by being courteous to their victims. Unfortunately for them, this led to their getting caught. The two burglary suspects faced multiple charges after police said they left a note thanking the homeowners for the $5,000 worth of electronics gear and food they stole. Police spokesman Dan Grubb said the pair left one note on a white paper napkin saying simply, "Thanks." Grubb said a second message was etched into a wall Wednesday morning that said, "Thanks, we love the stuff we got." Police charged Dewan Marquis Avant and Daryl Sturdivant Jr. with breaking and entering, larceny, and other charges. The homeowners said the stolen loot included a box of corn dogs, frozen chicken, and beer.
A box of corn dogs, frozen chicken, and beer is the name of my band's Lynyrd Skynyrd tribute album. And finally, in Capitola, California, police say a bank robber forgot to set up a getaway ride, so he offered $1,000 to people on the street for a lift after the heist. Capitola police said a man in his 40s or 50s entered a bank at 11:40 a.m. on Saturday and ordered $20 and $100 bills from the teller. He then jumped onto the counter, pushed the teller, and grabbed the money from the till. About a block from the bank, witnesses told investigators that a man was offering $1,000 to anyone who would give him a ride to Santa Cruz. The California Highway Patrol, Santa Cruz Police, and Capitola Police searched for the suspect, but have not found him. Police believe he is a transient and are looking to interview anyone who may have given him a ride. No digital photos of him committing the robbery, discarded diapers with trick-or-treat bags, or handwritten thank you notes from him have been found.
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
Santa Cruz Transient Thousandaire is the name of my Lynyrd Skynyrd tribute band's record label.
This has been News of the Stupid.
In Birmingham, they love the governor. Ew, ew, ew.
Okay, so, I'm going to say something embarrassing, but I really like popping pimples. Apparently, not only do I like popping my own pimples, I like popping other people's pimples. And every time Josh gets a big juicy one, I get this look on my face of, like, you know, kind of terroristic joy and kind of come at him. And then he kind of runs away. And then we came up with the idea that maybe instead of popping pimples, I could learn to pop pimple wrap instead of bubble wrap. So I'm hoping someone invents pimple wrap so that I can give up my pimple popping ways on real skin.
And, you know, burping on the podcast is, like, you know, totally gross and disgusting. But, you know, it's perfectly okay
to...
Hey, if I'm popping pimples, I'm not making gross popping pimple noises that I put into people's ear holes on the podcast, am I?
So, actually...
How did you have that prepared?
Because I'm a goddamn genius. Anyway,
I didn't even say pimple wrap. In the notes, it says pee wrap. You were supposed to not know what that meant.
I have a thumb, and I have a cheek, and I have a tongue, and they work together to make that noise just now.
I thought it was a sound effect.
I wanted to mention that, well, it was a sound effect. I just made it with my mouth.
You know what I meant, dumbass? Gah.
So, I was going to mention, I had a girlfriend who did the same thing to me many moons ago. Her name was Cassie.
Thought you were going to say her name was Carrie.
No. But she would sometimes, like, pick at my, you know, at me like a friggin' recess monkey or something, you know.
I don't think during the time that I was dating you that you were incredibly pimply.
No. So, from the category of Luke rants incessantly about some bullshit his brain won't shut up about, I wanted to tell a couple stories from my youth, and I guess they came to mind recently, and I in no way mean to make light of this at all, but this whole thing with, you know, bullying and all these suicides, you know, it's really, really, really sad, and... And this is the way I've always looked at it, and some people might disagree with me, but it's like bullies pick on gays, and bullies pick on geeks. So by my logic and way of thinking, geeks and gays are allies. We are on the same side against the bullies. It's like, you know, we need to be uniting against that bullshit. You know, so I mean that's. That's just the way I see it. So,
some people are both geek and gay.
Yeah. Anyway, I just kind of feel like, you know, when I see all these awesome videos for, you know, the It Gets Better project coming from so many different areas of, you know, the culture of all these different types of people saying, you know, hey, this needs to stop. You know, I think that's really awesome.
I just thought it was cool that Obama, of all people, recorded a message for Dan Savage's project.
Yeah. Did you see the one today from George Takei?
Oh, no, I didn't.
It's on YouTube. Tom Smith posted it on his Live Journal. Cool. But yeah, just you could find it pretty easily, but it's full of win.
I hope this is really getting out to the gay teens, even the ones in the closet.
I
hope they're really hearing about it.
I would hope and assume that it is, but... So anyway, all of this talk about bullying just kind of kept reminding me of various, you know, bullies that bothered me throughout my, you know, grade school, junior high school years. I by no means need to like, well, fuck it. I'm not going to worry about it. I mean, I've said it already. So one item that comes to mind, a really bizarre, because people think, oh, bullying just comes from other students. Sometimes bullying and other forms of humiliation comes from teachers, too. And so here's the story.
Yeah.
You know how, like, when you're in gym class, you know, people pick teams for playing baseball, softball, football, whatever the fuck you're playing. So, you know,
I was always picked last.
Well, yeah, and as was I, and as was a friend of mine named Carl. I think I met up with him like in second grade. So like for second, third, and fourth grade, I think, you know, I knew him about then. At some point he moved away. I can't remember exactly when, but he was kind of my best friend back then. And he, like me, was also picked last. So, you know, I forgot what system the teacher was using, the gym teacher, to like decide who got to pick teams. But inevitably it would always be like, the same people always get picked first because they're the best athletes, you know. So Carl finally got to be someone who was picking teams. So Carl is one of the team captains, and then one of the other, you know, more popular, more athletic, you know, typical, you know, grade A string player, you know, dudes was the other team captain. So yeah. Carl gets to pick. He picks me. I go and get in line behind Carl. And then, you know, of course, you know, the other guy picks another person who's like a super well sporty dude. And, you know, he's second in line in the other team. And then, you know, the picking continues, blah, 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 blah. So then, like, the two teams line up in the order they were picked by the front door. The teacher, who I don't think was our regular gym teacher, but he was there often enough that he kind of knew who we all were. He was there for, like, a semester or something. So, like, he goes to, like, get in front of the door, open the doors, and take us outside. He stops and looks. He looks at the front of Carl's line with me standing behind him. He looks at the other team's line, and he looks back at Carl's line, and he says, "Oh, no way, this isn't gonna work here." And then he, like, kind of grabs me and switches me with the second person in the other person's line and makes us switch teams on the spot. Because he's basically saying in front of everybody, "Oh, you are a really bad sports player, and obviously so is Carl. So to have both of you on the same team, you know, is really going to make it unfair because all the really good players are on the other kid's team, you know, because they're all buddy-buddy and friends, you know, and Carl picked people he liked playing with rather than who would make the team that was going to win, you know." So
when you're done with this story, I have a similar story with a happier ending.
All right. Well, that's basically the story. So,
There was this one bully. I don't remember for sure what grade I was. Maybe fifth grade. His name was Ryan Galatovich. I can still actually remember it. Very few people from that era of my life I can remember their full names or even their first names, but for some reason I can remember Ryan Galatovich. I think I might have wrote about him in my little diary or something. Anyways, you know, he was kind of a short, you know, kid, but he was still, you know, just a little asshole bully to me. And, you know, he would be one of the first people picked for teams. I would be one of the last. Well, one day in gym class, we were doing that eraser relay thing where you're just running across, like, the short way of the gym, and you're, like, trying to get, I don't know, you're picking up those big erasers and trying to get be the first one to get the eraser down after doing 5 laps or whatever, something like that. Did you ever do that game?
Yeah.
And so, for some reason, like, me and Ryan Galatovich and one other person were all racing each other, and I don't know what got into me or what happened or what went wrong with wonderful Ryan, but I don't remember if the third person was the winner or if I was the winner. I don't even think I was the winner, but I was faster than Ryan, and I got my eraser there first, and he was so embarrassed that, you know, he lost to the, you know, known throughout the school, you know, for being geeky and smelly, Carrie Dalby. And, you know, he was so embarrassed that he started crying. So that was a glorious moment. And then, like, for a while, like, if there was some sort of running thing, a couple times after that, people started picking me first, and then they found out, oh, she actually can't run. It was just a fluke.
Huh.
So that's my similar story with a happy ending. It didn't have anything to do with teachers bullying me. I'm glad to say I don't recall anything like that happening in my life, maybe just because I'm just a little bit younger to where that started getting taboo. So what's your other story?
Well, I don't know. I guess basically I basically want to use a Simpsons analogy to really get this point across. My best friend in grade school is a person named Jason Stahl, a.k.a. Stalls, a.k.a. Jay Styles. It's hard to explain how he and I, got to be best friends. I have some theories, but, you know, basically, you know, I don't know. It was very much a I was the straight man and he was the comedy sidekick, because I was like, I got the good grades and, you know, was a pretty well-behaved, well-mannered kid, you know, but I did like to try to be funny. And then here's Jason, who's, you know, kind of a troublemaker, you know, not like a bully, but just someone who'd, you know, be a class clown and or be disrespectful or, you know, whatever, you know, listen to a lot of, you know, cool heavy metal music that I, you know, all the stuff that I never was exposed to in my little Catholic home where, you know, the fact that my sister got to own a Prince album is kind of amazing. But anyway, you know, because Michael Jackson was allowed, but, you know, Prince is like, oh, anyway, So Jason and I, you know, met in fourth grade. Fourth, fifth, sixth grade is awesome. We're really good friends. And at the end of sixth grade, there's this thing called outdoor education, or outdoor ed for short, where basically you go to camp for a week and you learn about, you know, biology and outdoor stuff, and you get to be away from home. And the other thing about this is you get put into cabins with other kids from other schools that you never met before, which you will find out, you know, when you leave grade school and go to junior high school, they're going to be your classmates there. So it's the first time you get to meet these people. So, you know, you could put in requests and say like, oh, I want to be in the same cabin as my best friend or whatever, you know, just so that, I have a good rapport with somebody that you're in your cabin with all these other strangers. So
good rapport, not a bad rapport.
Yes. So, you know, I basically told them, oh, I want to be with Jason. I want to be with Jason. There was like six boys' cabins, six girls' cabins. They were all named after various, you know, outdoorsmen type people like Davy Crockett. My cabin was Cody, after Buffalo Bill Cody, which is stupid. They should have called the cabin Buffalo Bill. That's a much cooler name than Cody. So I get there. Okay, here's where the Simpsons analogy comes in. Think of me as Lisa Simpson and think of Jason as Bart Simpson, right?
Okay.
Okay, and I know that sounds weird, but just hang with me here.
I got it.
So basically it's like, oh, I want to be with this person in the same cabin. And then we find out that the Cody cabin is the cabin that all the schools throw their delinquents into. And since Jason was viewed as somewhat of a delinquent, you know, i.e. Bart, you know, we got thrown into Cody. So now it's like, oh, great. Who are all the other Simpsons characters in this cabin? You know, Nelson, Jimbo, Kearney, Dolph, basically every stereotypical bully type from the fucking, you know, tri-school area is in this cabin. And I get to be there, too. The wimpy academic person, you know, is in the cabin with all the fucking troublemakers because I had insisted that I wanted to be in the same cabin with Jason, who was my best friend.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like, it was a really shit situation that week. I mean, it wasn't totally bad, you know, for the whole week. There were fun times. The teachers did some funny skits where they were impersonating cartoon characters and stuff like that. And then we all had to come up with, kind of like, you know, in Harry Potter, like each house gets points, you know, 5 points to Gryffindor, you know, or whatever. And then at the end of the thing, whoever had the most points wins some special award. Well, it was pretty much, you know, a foregone conclusion that not only were we not going to win, but we were going to have the least amount of points ever, because anything that I would do that would be good, that would earn us points, they would get deducted by the other asshats in my cabin who were just delinquents looking to, you know, fuck shit up and fuck people up and, you know, blah, blah, blah. That cabin is where I met a person named Jeffrey Cooper. And yes, I'll say him by name, Jeffrey fucking Cooper, who was like this little short kid His mom basically gave him enough like karate lessons so that he knew how to quickly kick someone in the gut and knock the wind out of them and they would fall over and be embarrassed and humiliated. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he did that to me like several fucking times because I had no idea how to defend myself against a move like that. So, that began like literally years of torment from this little short kid. And he never grew tall. Puberty never got close enough to him for him to grow tall. So even though, you know, me and everyone else around him was taller than him, he still was going around karate kicking people and making their lives hell. So, wow. You know, Another person in that cabin was Danny Soika, who is now, well, basically his sister married my cousin, so he's some kind of weird non-blood relative of mine now, so that's kind of weird for me to think about, but anyway, this maybe I'll revisit this subject later and go into more bullies of my past, because it's definitely a good fountain of potential things to talk about, but I wanted to finish off that little thing mentioning about Outdoor Ed was that each cabin had to, you know, the whole points thing, blah, blah, blah. Each cabin had to come up with their own song, and I was thinking to myself, what could I do that would be really, something that would be interesting and get the, attention of the teachers. And even though I didn't really have, tons of Dr. Demento albums or anything like that, at that time of my life, I was still fairly aware of, comedy music, blah, blah, blah. So it hit me, Hello Mudda, Hello Fada. The song, about being at camp. So I wrote a 16-line parody of Hello Mudda, Hello Fada, so for the Cody Cabin to sing as our camp song in our attempt to, impress the teachers and win the award for best song. Yeah. So we do the song. I forgot how, we must have had some way to copy up the lyrics so everyone could read it and blah, blah, blah. We get there. We perform the song. Teachers, everyone went crazy for it. The other five songs, five parodies of the Super Bowl Shuffle.
Oh, God. All of them? Really? Literally?
It may not have been literally all of them, but it sure felt like that way. It's just like, we're the Crockett Cabin Crew, and then, oh, God, another one. And it's a funny thing just to, and it still happens in the professional comedy music world, but that whole notion of, oh, I can't believe that they all thought of the same idea. We thought we were all so cool and clever to have thought up the Super Bowl Shuffle. I'll be honest, the thought of parodying it crossed my mind too, but I said to myself, no, I got to find something else that's going to get the attention of the teachers, because the teachers are the one who are deciding who wins.
Yeah.
And they're all baby boomers, so ha! So anyway.
So you guys won best song.
Yeah, we won best song, and whatever points we got for that, we lost because of everyone else there was a douchebag. All right. So, end of that.
I would just say, one thing I would say about school bullying is that as effed up as my childhood home life was, I give bullies 51% of the credit for fucking me up psychologically. So that's just how bad it was.
Me too. I mean, like I said, I could go on for so long.
Yeah, but you had good you have awesome parents and an awesome home life.
And now I have awesome in-laws.
Yeah. I mean, I know you had your problems, but
yeah.
Things were really, 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 really intense for me.
Yeah, even the absolute worst of things that went down in my family life doesn't in no way compare to the family lives I've seen of other people in my life. So I appreciate my family every day for what they were and what they are today.
I mean, I had like perfect attendance the first time I ever, skipped class, not because I was sick, but because I just didn't want to go. It had everything to do with bullies. Just because I couldn't face them anymore. I didn't want to even try to face them.
So yeah, I think I want to revisit this in the next episode and talk some more about this stuff. But I'm going to leave it like that for now. So we're trying to get some feedback from you guys. We would like to know, if you got any really good juicy bully stories you want to share with us. You can either leave a comment on this episode in text, or you could call 916 Lukeski. That's 916-585-3754, and let us know about it, and we can bring that topic up again.
We didn't get any voice messages this time, did we?
No, we did not, which was odd.
We
didn't get any iTunes reviews either, but I think we got a couple more star ratings, so that's good. We're at 4.5 stars.
Sweet.
So anyway, let's get to some more music. This first song is by David O'Doherty, who we first heard on the Nerdist podcast. He did this song on there. I managed to find a video of it online, and it's a great song. Carrie wanted us to play it. And then the second song is by the MTV sketch comedy group The State. It's actually one of the rarities from The State from back when the original TV series ran. And they put out a VHS tape of like the best of that way back when. And this was included on that as a bonus thing that wasn't in any of the original episodes. You can now find it online to watch the whole video of it, and it's also probably on that DVD set. But anyway, here's those two songs, and then we'll get back to wrapping up the show. Anything else to say, Carrie?
Knife.
All right, songs.
Or Kniffy.
Kniggets!
World! You can mess with me once, and you probably get away with it. Mess with me twice, and chances are I still probably won't remember. But mess with me numerous times, across a concerted period, in a similar way, I think you're gonna get away with it. Well, you're wrong. Because I'm gonna lampoon you through a comedy song. I'm talking about my beefs, 2010, things I've encountered again and again, my beefs. 2010, excuse me while I unleash a Celebrity news, stop appearing at the end of real news. You diminish real news. And the death toll from the Haiti earthquake could rise as high as 144,000. Christina Aguilera's cat has alopecia. No! People with iPhones, stop trying to show me what your iPhone can do, I don't care. Go back to me, do something really incredible like toast a sandwich or give you a spray tan. I don't need an iPhone. I have an iPod already. And if I'm honest, there have been times I've pretended that my iPod is an iPhone. Just when I'm told people are incredibly boring, I'll be like, I'm so sorry, I'm gonna have to take this. Hello? Oh, look, it's Prince. Girls! Stop telling me about your dreams. Seriously. Just the fateful moment when it begins. I had a dream last night. No! I'm never gonna get the next 2 minutes of my life back. I was on a horse and then the horse was flying. I don't care. It was unbelievable. Well, of course it's unbelievable. It's a dream. What do you want? Highly realistic dreams. I had a dream. It was like a Mike Lee film. Well, that is unbelievable. What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. It's just your brain doing a massive fart in the evening. 23-year-old men from the suburbs of Edinburgh. Stop buying pointless accessories for your stupid cars. It's not the Batmobile, it's a 2003 Citroen Saxo. Blue lights underneath the chassis. Oh, that's practical. In the subs, junkies shooting up in your wheel arches. DVD players, play all regions of DVD. If you don't, you're racist. Comedians at this festival, stop describing yourselves as controversial on your own posters and publicity material. You can't find yourself controversial. You can't be like, whoa, I can't believe I just said that. I'm not even sure if I subscribe to these beliefs. Haven't really thought about it. Finally, people who constantly update what it is they've been doing on the internet. From where I'm sitting, it seems like there's two main schools of status update. The first and most common is make your life sound as awesome as possible. And they'll be like this, just had a picnic up a hill. What a perfect day. No! I know what you're like. You're bipolar. You cry for half an hour every morning. But even more pointless than that is the other one. About to make an omelette. No way! What? You are about to undertake the mighty omelette. This could go anyway. Somebody alert NASA, alert CERN. You might create a new element. Clear a space on the periodic table for omeletium. Sort it out, world. If you don't, then you risk being part of my beef 2011. Thank you very much.
Okay, here's the deal. MTV asked us specifically to please not do this skit, but we really like it. We think it'll be 10 times more popular than the guy who says, I'm outta here. So now, for your viewing enjoyment, a little something we like to call Porcupine Racetrack.
Porcupine, porcupine, porcupine. porcupine racetrack, porcupine, porcupine, porcupine racetrack, porcupine, porcupine, porcupine racetrack, watch them porcupines go! Porcupines, go, go, go!
Go, you porcupines, never be slow!
Go, you porcupines, go, go, go!
Where are all those lots of dough?
It's a marvelous day at the Porcupine Racetrack. We'll watch them little porkies run. The sun, the track, and porcupines.
Your recipe for fun.
Racing form, Mr. Johnson?
Why, thank you, Jimmy. Here, get yourself a licorice whip.
Have I got a pick for you boys? Oh. This porcupine has to win.
Yeah.
He's strong and fast and ready.
And loaded up with gin.
I'll put my dough on Lightning, cause it says here he's a sure thing. And the odds are 5-4.
But boy, I hope that he's not slower. Otherwise, then this here Joe will be back on Skid Row.
I know that I'm a sinner, but I really need a winner, or the orphanage will close. So God, if you're above, and it's orphans that you love, then please help the porcupine I chose.
I'm the slowest porcupine in town, but knowing that, don't get me down. It's just that they don't see. So when they blow that whistle, I will move my little bristles, cause there's nothing stopping.
And now it's time for What's Luke Plugging Now? Yeah.
What's at the Fump? What's at that Fump?
Funny Music Project.
At the Fump right now, you can get for free We Are the Vikings by Kobe LaCroix, Zombie Mama by Toy Boat, Blues Campbell by the great Luke Ski. Who's that? What a Friend We Have in Cthulhu by the Consortium of Genius. Cog. We're All Gonna Die by Insane Ian, featuring Kiki Cannon, Devo Spice at Schaefer the Dark Lord, also featuring cameos by Carrie Dalby and the great Luke Ski, Halloween Night by Dino Mike, Halloween by Steve Goody, and Act Pottery by Nuclear Bubble Wrap.
The free MP3 of the week at LukeSki.com is Bring the Joy, my parody of the Public Enemy Anthrax version of Bring the Noise about the Ren and Stimpy show. I love this song. Maybe nobody else does, but I love this song.
I enjoy this song as well.
In fact, people who from the original Spumco staff who created Ren and Stimpy, at least one of them has heard this song, and his response to me was, through somebody else, was, thank you. So... anyway, download it for free right now at LukeSki.com. Also at LukeSki.com in the store, Greatest Hits Volume 1, 2 CD set, and What a Rip Off Volume 2 CD or MP3 album, so things can be purchased. Art by LukeSki.com, Christmas parties, holiday parties, Thanksgiving parties, for the love of God, hire me for them. Also caricatures and art to make nifty gifts. So if you'd like to order me to do art for a gift to give to someone, there's that. Wait, what? Oh, Christmas cards. Sarah has, come up with a nifty idea of me doing some artwork that's supposed to, look like Christmas cards so people could use it as Christmas cards and send them to people. I will be coming up with something to put on the website as an example, relatively soon here. So that's another idea. Thank you, Sarah. Sarah is awesome and does web things, and she doesn't want to set me on fire or stab me most of the time. She's shaking her hand. That's kind of like, eh. Anyway. The Dr. Demento Show. Listen to it for the love of God. DrDemento.com. DrDemento.com. The show is awesome every week. Just $2 an episode. Listen. And also, make requests. Listening is the more important part, though. Making requests, also important. So if there's songs by myself or Carrie Dalby, like Twitter Tweetin', that you like and would like Dr. Demento to play again or to make the top 10 countdown, go to drdemento.com and click on the request link and make requests. Tour dates. I got a tour date and Carrie got a tour date. My tour date is WindyCon. I'm doing a concert at the convention. It's in the Chicagoland area. Sunday at 11 a.m. of that weekend. The weekend is November 12th through 14th. The website is windycon.org for more information. Carrie?
The following weekend, Friday, November 19th at 7:30-ish at Northeastern Illinois University, I will be operatically participating in the scene recital class that will be fully staged scenes on the stage, and I will be playing a man who likes women. So, yeah, there's some hot girl-on-girl action, kind of. Not exactly porn here, but... and I'm hoping my buddies will come out and see it. I think it might be free. I'm a little unclear on the cost, but I'll get back to you next time when it'll be a few days away.
All right. What shade of pink are you wearing today, Carrie?
Well, I'm actually wearing the dark pink T-shirt of New Orleans that you and Sarah gave to me.
Yay!
Let the good times roll, New Orleans, and if you want to read the back, then you're going to have to drive 25 miles to do it.
Who dat?
Or read Sarah's shirt, which is the same except blue.
Yes. So,
We didn't even talk about Halloween at all.
Oh, well.
I went to Luke and Sarah's house for Halloween. I was dressed as a sexy Harry Potter, and Josh dressed up as a priest. But if he got the white thing off of there, it would have been a good Voldemort costume, or Snape is what I meant to say. And Luke had a Star Trek shirt on.
I was in the Star Trek The Next Generation somewhat outfit. So
and we made a cool pumpkin and with cat that a cat face. That was you, me, and Sarah and Josh all participated in the making of that.
It was a team effort. And we hung around and with trick-or-treaters came and we gave them candy and then we watched
Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, because I'm getting Josh caught up on Harry Potter fucking finally.
So if you'd like to see a photo of Carrie and I in our costumes, go to badreport.com and look at the image that goes with this link. And
Can you put the pumpkin photo too?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. So, True Tales of Ignorance from the Caricature Stand. This is just really quick. It has finally happened. I was hoping it would never happen. Someone, and what's even sadder is that it was a young boy, asked me for the body and background to draw them as characters from, or not characters, people from Jersey Shore.
Oh, God.
And normally I'm very big on giving people what they want. If this had been like a full-grown adult, I probably would have been like, okay, fine, you have to describe to me what I'm supposed to be doing here, because I only have a vague notion of what that show's like, but, because I've never seen it. But since it was a child, I basically, bullshitted my way into, saying like, oh, I didn't know enough about it or whatever. And I can't remember what I drew him as, but it was not Jersey Shore. I refused to draw, a freaking 10-year-old boy as a character, as a guy from Jersey Shore.
You could have drawn him as Snooky.
I'd like to see Snooky in a Snuggie.
Oh, God.
With Chewbacca, so that would be a Snooky Snuggy Wookie.
There needs to be Snuggy porn, and too. I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast.
And then we can make it a dance, and it would be the Snooky Snuggy Wookie Boogie.
But yeah, but Snuggy porn. Just think about it.
Okay, I'm thinking about it.
Okay, keep thinking about it.
So we should probably do some comments, or we can just think about Snuggy porn some more.
You read Blasted Bill's epically long comment, probably the longest he's ever left for us.
Yes. So, comments part two. Blasted Bill says, yes, this is long. Sorry. Rocky, as in Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yes, both me and Moonbeam have a very huge, hard, throbbing hard-ons for Rocky. I completely understand why Luke got sick of Rocky. Luke is a performer and hates stealing others' jokes. Rocky is not a performance and more of a ritual. For me, Rocky is kind of like going to church, but in a good way. You get a cool community, you have a bunch of group chants, and you get a perverted sermon from the minister. And you welcome the newcomers into the fold by plunging them into the water of decadence. I can also understand the people who get to see Rocky all the time can become sick of it. I've never gotten the chance to see Rocky enough to get sick of it. We've only ever had one full-time cast in Michigan since I started into Rocky, and it ended after only just a year. I was always envious of the people who could memorize all the lines and hit the timing marks. Only in the last 4 years or so have I seen it enough to start memorizing it enough to do that. I can see a day when it starts losing its fun, but for now, I get to be the performer entertaining all the newbies. It's the closest I can get to doing the things Luke does all the time. As for Carrie, when you first started coming to the onto the IRC channel, your name was Pixeline at RHPS. That's what I would see when you would come in, so for me, your name was very linked to Rocky. So for you to go quickly from loving Rocky so much that it was in your name to not liking it anymore just made me think... Well, will she do the same thing with dementia and leave us quickly, too? Because we like you, and we don't want you going anywhere. Do you want to make a comment here, or should I keep going?
Keep going.
Okay. So, I'm glad you both had fun at Rocky Dementia Style. There are a lot of Rocky fans in the Dementia group, and we have often talked about doing an all-Dementia Rocky cast. So, this was something a large part of the group would really have fun with. Yeah, we did that on a past episode, or at least we... One of the early episodes, I think it was episode 4 or 5, we had the discussion on if we were going to recast Rocky Horror with all members of the FUMP, who would play what. I thought that was a interesting idea. But he's talking about everybody, like the fans as well, and the DJs.
Yes.
Anyway, Luke's show, as in the performance I did at Con and the Cob. Yes, I found myself the whole time watching the videos and not you. You have decided...
You have to decide.
Oh, okay. You have to decide if that's what you want or not. What Devo Spice does with his videos is use it as extra jokes. When he's rapping, there's just a looped video like the retired rapper on a wheelchair going down the hallway. Only when he had downtime in his songs does something funny happen on the screen. Your songs and videos are packed full of jokes, so you really don't need the videos like he does. Well, it's something to ponder, but all in all, I think I really like the idea of...
Yeah, I agree with you. We're just watching the videos. We're not looking at you at all.
Well, to be honest, I'm not sure if that really bothers me.
Well, it should, if you don't...
Well,
if you want people to consider you a performer and not a video accompaniment.
Well, here's the thing. One thing I really enjoyed about that show was without me having to worry about having to grab a prop or a costume or some other thing, all I had to concentrate on was performing the words that were coming out of my mouth. I thought I did a really, you know, solid performance, you know, vocal-wise and having a bit more energy to what I was doing, you know.
It's kind of like you want your music and videos to be your background, not to be its background. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the video I made for All You Can Tweet was definitely more along the lines of what Devo Spice does because the first half of that whole thing is just that looped image of the Fat Boys dancing. And then when it gets to the tweet part of the song, that's when I brought in the other images. But anyway, let's move on because we got more to do. Carrie's show, as in Carrie's performance at Con and the Cob. Your songs are mostly not high energy. You did a great set, and we enjoyed it. But we knew the jokes, and we were just kind of chilling and enjoying the music. There really wasn't anything to react to. The only song of yours I can think of with audience participation, you did on the main stage, Sleepwalking Zombies. Maybe come with some more songs with audience...
Yes.
I think he meant to maybe come up with some more songs with audience participation if you want the hardcores to have something to react to. You want to say anything here, or...
I'll just say things after you're done reading it.
All right. The All Request thingy. Me and Megan and Moonbeam were trying to think of songs for all the performers who hadn't done songs yet, but people kept yelling out Shoebox songs. Next time it needs to be Round Robin. Not that we didn't want Carrie songs, just that there wasn't enough time to get to you. Your show, I guess he means as a bad rapport here.
Podcast.
Yes. I find it far more annoying and distracting when you guys start in with the show's running too long and we have to hurry up than the length of the I'm sorry, I read that wrong and I stumbled. Basically, he means he doesn't have a problem with the show being long, but he finds it annoying when we're all like, we gotta hurry up. Maybe just do what every show you plan... Maybe just do what every show you plan without the constant hurry
whatever
up.
Whatever show you plan without the constant hurry up, rush, and then break it into two parts.
Oh, so he's saying, like, okay. Like Sean, I believe it was. Suggested.
From now on, I'm reading Bill's comments.
Hey, I was
you can't interpret
I was doing
Bill.
Pretty good.
You lost it. I'll just finish Bill's comment here. Saving time. To save time, you should just get me and Ian to talk about Flat 29 for a show someday. Okay, I'm going to respond in backwards order. Okay, you know, the real reason why I'm trying to rush the show lately is not because I think the show's too long, but because I want to get home and go the fuck to bed. And it's right now it's 10 p.m. on, you know, Tuesday night. I'm getting up at 5:30 and I have an hour of things to do before I can go to bed and the show's not even over. So, you know, and at least in this case, I'm already home. But, you know, we continue to record on weeknights, so maybe we'll want to switch it up and do it on a weekend sometime. My shows are mostly not high energy. Well, whatever. I already said something about that. I'd like to do All Dementia Rocky sometime. I kind of already responded an email to Bill, but I got a little hurt, feelings hurt at the thought that because I left Rocky means that I'm going to leave Dementia. Dementia's my family. Rocky Horror Picture Show is something that I used to enjoy, something that I used to have a lot of people that I thought were my friends in, and now, you know, there's a lot of bad experiences, bitterness, boredom, you know, restricted creativity, and it was just time to move on. Rocky Horror wasn't my family. Dementia is, so I'm not leaving. I've gotten burnt out on comedy music in the past, and I will in the future, and that's okay, you know? That doesn't mean I'm leaving the fucking family. And that's... I'll just leave it there. And, I believe you say you can see someone getting sick of Rocky, you know, you say, quote, I can understand the people who get to see Rocky all the time can become sick of it. Well, I was one of those people, Bill. I've seen it over 200 times in the theater, and most of those was in the space of a couple of years. So moving on, I will read Arkel's comment, unless you have anything else you felt you needed to say, Luke.
Well, just to make sure, I think what Bill was saying when he was saying your songs are low energy is just that that's, generally speaking, more your style. Like, if you compare any three Carrie Dalby songs to three songs by The Gossicles or by, you know, The Cog or
I'm not disagreeing with his statement. It's saddening and embarrassing. And, you know, I realized that Caught on the Cob that I'm not a fan of my own music. And
well, no, it's more like, look at, like, stand-up comedian Stephen
you
Wright.
You can't argue with me about my feelings on a subject.
Stephen Wright.
I realized that Caught on the Cob that I'm not a fan of me, and that may mean less things coming from me.
So if you disagree with Carrie and you think that her music is awesome, then please go to badreport.com and comment on this episode telling us how awesome Carrie's music is and that she should make much more of it.
Arkel says, oh man, I can't believe I forgot all about this. But all the con talk in this episode reminds me of my own Luke Ski con story. Or to put it correctly, my almost Luke Ski con story. I was at the San Diego Comic Con in 2006 at the panel for the release of season one of The Boondocks on DVD. I was there too. It was a great panel. Aaron McGruder and the cast of the show were up there. It was fun. I had no internet at the hotel I was staying at, so I didn't have a way to check any of the blogs I subscribed to until I got home to Denver. And wouldn't you know it, Luke had a blog post about experiencing the very same panel. Just my luck, huh? Most favorite dementia artist after Weird Al and Stan Freeberg. Okay, one among my many favorite dementia artists was in the same fracking room as me, and I didn't even notice. Not that I would have done more than say hello, and I'm a fan, before going to my next panel, but still. I'm kind of guessing he missed the masquerade, too.
Yeah. my favorite moment of that Boondocks panel was creator Aaron McGruder was, like, listening to someone ask him a question, because there was a line of people at the microphone, and the guy got done asking the question. And Aaron said, "I'm sorry, I completely didn't hear anything you just said because I was looking at the guys behind you in line." And the guys behind him in line were two white guys dressed up as Jim Rummy and Ed the Third from Boondocks. And
that was awesome.
It was like this experience of he had probably never seen anybody dressed up as a character he created before. And he was just like flabbergasted because it was a really accurate costume.
Yeah.
So, of course, the guy re-asks his questions, he answers it, and then the two guys, you know, step up and the guy dressed as Ed the Third gets on the mic and says, "What the fuck y'all looking at?" And it was awesome. And then after
that
the
was awesome.
Yeah, and then after the show, he got pictures with them and stuff like that. So it was really
thank you
cool.
for remembering things because I don't. yeah, Arkel. Also, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby were on stage in front of 5,000 people or so at the San Diego Comic Con Masquerade halftime show in 2006, singing "Grease yes. Wars," and we totally floored everyone. And Luke sold more CDs in one space of one like hour or whatever than he'd ever had before or since.
Yeah, like most money made off of one performance in, you know, yeah. So also Chris Waffle was there of Hot Waffles.
Yes, he was.
So
and he convinced me that the cucumber was a cucumber, and he was right. The cucumber was a cucumber.
Okay.
He doesn't remember that, but that's something you remember the cool part with, you know, Aaron McGruder and the awesome costumes and all the awesome quotes, and I remember the cucumber. Sliced cucumber.
Oh, okay. I thought we were talking about Snuggie porn again for a second or something, but anyway, Captain Nova says, "I had fun at Con and the Cob. I tried my darndest working the door to get people in the room where the performers were, also putting up flyers. Did the same at the Dementia Radio party, but with better results, in my opinion. Best part of the con I enjoyed Friday night was me, Luke, and Alcav screaming in the mic at Laundromat of Sin. Carrie, I..." That was an unintentional burp.
Doesn't matter.
"Carrie, I enjoyed the show and love your music. See you guys at Marcon." See, Captain Nova loves your music, Carrie.
Thanks, Captain Nova. Draconis says, "I like the free songs, but why not do like Devo then? Two songs once per month, one being your pick and the other being the most requested. New discussion on Luke and Carrie talk cartoons. Which, if any, of the 80s cartoons would you go see in theaters if they remade it into either CGI or live action? Also, your opinion on the return to..." Is he intentionally typing it CGA?
I'm
CGA,
not sure.
Like, computer graphic animated, I guess that's what he means.
I don't know.
Your opinion on the return to CGA for the new Disney Tangled movie and the release of a Tron sequel after nearly 30 years. Great show, y'all, and bacon for the great Luke Sky spelled SKI. Sorry, had to do it once. And Sarah, remember to brand him in case he gets lost at a con again.
Okay. Let's see, 80s cartoons that I would like to see remade.
Rainbow Bright.
Well, yeah, for you, I know it's going to be Rainbow Bright and Gem and the Holograms.
Mostly Rainbow Bright.
Well, it's like, it'd be interesting to see what they would possibly do with He-Man. Because basically, when I was a kid, He-Man was the first major like TV show with a toy line that I got into. The next one after that would be Transformers. And, you know, there's obviously, there's never going to be a Transformers movie that's done to reflect the way the Transformers originally was back in, you know, 86 or 84.
Well, I liked He-Man and She-Ra a lot.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really liked the remade series that they did a few years ago with He-Man. I didn't see too many episodes of it, but it looked cool. It'd be interesting to see what they could do with He-Man if it was, you know, done well and not stupidly, but it's hard to figure out what that would be exactly.
Josh says he wants to see the new Tron movie on midnight the night it comes out. I told him I'm not going on a freaking midnight on a Thursday night, but that I am not as disinterested in Tron as he thought I was, because I did watch it when I was a kid. I don't really remember it much, but...
Well, tell him that I might want to go with him, assuming that I have the ability to meet up with him when that time gets
here. He's not really going to go. He has to work, too. He's really going to go, but he's not really going to go at midnight on a Thursday.
If there's a midnight showing of Tangled, I might go see that.
I haven't really heard anything about Tangled. Other than the word Tangled and the other word Disney, I really have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Here's a third word, Rapunzel.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So
everything I just said is a lie. I saw that preview. I just didn't make the connection.
The main character is voiced by Zachary Levi, as in the guy who plays Chuck on the TV show Chuck. And it looks like it's going to be really good. I'm really looking forward to it. Cool. So,
all right, read Ken's comment so we can kill this podcast.
All right. Ken Sherlock says, I enjoy Con and the Cob as it is a more intimate venue for performers, and Shoebox did a great job of putting it together. As Luke stated, it is difficult to impress a crowd that really knows the material. I did enjoy Carrie's show, but was not feeling well from the hotel buffet. I did appreciate being on the Dementia Radio panel, but as I usually do, think of what to say after it was over. FYI, the best beverage that ever got me drunk is Sarah's Punch. On the picture of me on my site, that is what is in the cup I am holding. Well, thank you very much, Ken.
The Blue Punch, isn't it?
Yes, the Blue Punch. We did not have any voice messages. We did get some emails, and thank you for those emails. We appreciate reading them and getting your comments and feedback and such. So, to make comments that would be read on the air, go to badreport.com and, you know, click on the little link for leaving a comment on this episode, that being episode number 27. If you would like to leave a voicemail, you can call 916-LUKE-SKI. That's 916-585-3754. And if you would like to leave us an iTunes review, you can do so by going to iTunes and finding our show and leaving us a review, and or maybe a star rating saying that you like us for a certain number of stars that is, you know, hopefully near 5 in a way. So, anything else you want to say for this episode, Carrie?
Ladle.
Okay. You keep mentioning utensils.
Yes.
Okay.
It's my shtick tonight.
Okay.
That and being tired and grumpy.
Well, the final two songs of the episode, the first one is by my brother's band, What For, my brother Michael. He is the lead singer on this. It's a new station for all of you emo kids out there. It's for when you don't know if you want to if you don't know if you want to cry or if you want to dance, you can just do the Krantz. So that's that song. And then my new song that's available at thefump.com right now. It's our second Halloweeny song of the evening, having to do with spooky movies and B-movie actors who are awesome and rule and kick ass. So on that note, I am the great Luke Ski.
I am the Carrie Dalby.
And this has been the Luke and Carrie's...
The Bad Rapport.
The bye.
The bye.
the border of Tennessee. In the woods, in a cabin, just a few good friends and me. Got my girlfriend Linda, thought we'd soon head to bed. Till we played a tape with some guy reading the Book of the Dead. Now Scotty's possessed from his socket slash cushions. The woods are alive and they trim Cheryl's bushes. Chopping up Shelly and burying her to me once seemed brash. But after one night in this cabin, you can all kiss my ash. Decapitated Linda with a shovel while the rest just turned loose. While I'm composing, they're decomposing. I got the Necronomicon Exmortis finally dismembered in Candary and Blue. That shaky can demon snuck up on me quick. Now I'm flying through the forest while Sam Raimi hits me with a stick. The bridge was out, so I ended up stranded. My right lip got possessed, man, those demons are underhanded. Who's laughing now? I said as I chopped it off at the wrist. Now my right hand is a chainsaw, I got the shotgun and I'm pissed. Henrietta the heinous whore hag is screaming out with bliss.
I'll swallow your soul!
So I told her, swallow this! Suck the demons into a vortex, and me too! Facing the fate I can't refuse! For God's sake, how do you stop it? I got the evil dead two army of darkness, starring Bruce Campbell Blues! Time for a solo! Ted, give me some sugar, baby! At S-Mark was a normal kind of guy. Now I'm a 14th century hero, the prophesized man from the sky. Defeating a pit bitch got their attention quick. So I held up my son up and told him, this is my boomstick. In a windmill fight and mini-me's, the shenvin ain't fun. My bad clone called me Goody Two-Shoes. Good bad, I'm the guy with the gun. Said Clyde Barada, which is a reference to some old movie. This army of deadites and slaughter them all, man. It was pretty groovy. Now I'm back working at S-Mart, fighting witches who were shopping for shoes. That's aisle 13, next to housewares. I got the look, maybe I didn't say every single little tiny double bell, but basically I said Minneapolis. I got the 8mm great focus monkey pigment swindle Michigan blues. I got the Hercules, the legendary journey to the warrior princess Autolycus blues. I got the Adventures of Briscoe County Junior Jack of All Trades Spider-Man Blues. I got the Man with the Screaming Brain Bubba Hotep Van Alice's Blues. I got the Crime Wave Maniac Cop Moon Trap Lunatics a Love Story Mind Warp Hot Sucker Proxy Congo Escape from L.A. Kale's Navy, Love Bug, Serving Sarah, Yaha, Burn Notice! My name is Bruce! Oh yeah! Hail to the King, baby!
Join us!
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
My first inclination was to tell this fanboy where to shove it.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.
It's the gentlemanly thing to do.